1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
This is the music of The Who. Pete Townsend got popped for child porn. How do you feel? Huh? All you Who fans, how you feeling now? Yeah. I don't know if the guy's guilty or not. What's that got to do with it? The fact is, the appearance of it is out there, so he might as well be guilty, right? How do you feel about that, you Who fans? Ah, get out of here. I like the song, but it's being pumped mostly over AM radio speakers right now, and it's being lost in the translation, I would think. You need to have that full quadraphonic, stereophonic. You need to have the full surround sound woofer and tweeter thing, don't you? Oh, you don't? Pete Townsend last night told The Sun he wants the cops to come into his home and check his computer for child porn. He says he's deeply wounded by suspicions he was a child porn pervert. Gee. You think? He admitted he'd looked at porn sites 3 or 4 times after accidentally stumbling across one. He said he'd been driven to see what sort of material they contained for research and out of anger at how easily they were to access. That's a good story, and I almost believed it until I realized that the police found out about him because his credit card details were coming up on a list of subscribers to this website. By the way, the website located in Texas, USA. How are you feeling now? The millionaire spoke out after it emerged at the weekend that a British rocker's credit card details were on a list of subscribers to a vile website in Texas. The list compiled by U.S. authorities included some 7,000 British names passed to police in Great Britain. Pete Townsend said, I'm not making any excuses. I'm angry about child porn on the internet and deeply wounded at the inference that I might be a pedophile. I have looked at child porn sites maybe 3 or 4 times in all, the front pages and previews, but I have only entered once using a credit card, and I've never downloaded. With hindsight, it was very foolish, but I felt so angered about what was going on, it blurred my judgment. Townsend said he spoke to an attorney about visiting the sites and had been advised to keep silent. And he says he was outraged when he first came across them while surfing the net with his son Joseph, now 16, about 6 years ago. One thing you need to know, and you may not know this. You may not know this. Many people have computers. But not everybody, in fact, most people really are not aware of what their computer can do and what their computer records. I would say a good 80 to 90% of people using computers today don't know what their computer does. Really what it's capable of. It records everything, man. You're dead meat. Dun, 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 dun. If you visited so much as one, thank God that I am personally turned on by older women, so when the cops pop me, it's going to be like oldsploshers.com and, huh? Yeah, grannies.com. I was like, boy, are you a sick bastard. Yeah, but it's not illegal. Man, you got me there. Yeah, see? Even if you erase your hard drive, they can still find the stuff that you erased. Are you aware of this? So let me just say to you guys right now, and maybe I'll give you 15 minutes so that you can, if you're feeling a little woozy, if you're feeling a little queasy, you can take your hard drive and throw it into the street right now. Because if you have visited any of these sites, you are guilty. You are guilty as charged. If you visited a teen site, if you saw something that said tightteens.com, and you said, wow, I wonder what that's about. And you went there. You are under arrest, Charlie. And all you got to do is, yeah, look at this. Okay, Taylor, put your hands on the wall. You too, Pelton. And while we're on the subject, Janice. I'm Pete Townsend. I listen to Phil Henry every time I masturbate. All right, now, or I should say, hi, I'm Pete Townsend. I listen to Phil Henry every time I'm... So that's what's the reality. Now, your friends can tell you anything they want. You got anything on your computer, you better get that stuff off right now, because I am going to give you, all of you, 24 hours, then I'm turning your names in to the Brits, the Townsend coppers. Seriously, am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Everything that's on your computer is now on your computer. You can't get it off. You can't get it off. Don't tell me that you logged onto a website that advertised, do you know that your boss knows you're surfing the net? Now get protection. Forget it. Forget it. It's a ripoff. everything that's there, they can download, they can find out. You have to destroy your hard drive with a blowtorch. With a blowtorch. Now, let's get down to brass tacks. How many men are in America? Just in America, there's 250 million people. So you can split that down the middle. You've got 125 million adult. You have 225 million males. Of that, how many are adults over the age of 18? Half? I don't know. I mean, more, little less than half. Let's say 60 million. 60 million adult men in the United States. Now, how many of them have computers? Now, let's cut that in half. Let's say 30 million adult males have computers. Of those 30 million computers that are owned by adult men in the United States, how many of them do you think are absolutely clean of all porn? Yeah! How do you spell that? Z-E-R, I can't spell. Oh, all right. Yeah, how about none? Every last one of them. Now, of those, what did I say, 30 million? How many of those guys are married? How many of those guys are the 30 million adult men? Well, let's cut that in half. 15 million men. That's impossible. There's got to be more than 15 million men married in the United States. But let's just say for kicks, there were 15 million. How many of the married men do you think have disgusting, twisted porn somewhere lurking, somewhere infecting, somewhere just oozing into their hard drive? What'd you say? A-L-L. Yeah! All married men have disgusting porn on their hard drives. Hi, everybody. I'm Hugh Downs. Welcome to 2020. You got it. All American men have somewhere on their hard drive, somewhere on their hard drive, porn. Now, how much of that might be kiddie porn inadvertent? Inadvertent. Well, you say, well, how, I don't understand, Phil. How do computers work? What do you mean inadvertent? Well, I don't know, but I've been told that if you go to a porn site, sometimes it'll automatically transfer you to another site. It'll just take you a place that you didn't want to go to. And maybe that site is, it could be poo.com. It could be teenagegirlsweeing.com, poo-poo, you know, mommy's diapers. Who knows? You know, or it could be some child thing. Guess what, Charlie? You're guilty anyway. You're dead meat. Where you stand, you're dead. Because, what, are you going to tell the cop when he's taking you away? I swear to God, I didn't mean to go there. Oh, sure, yeah. Now, I believe you, because I'm Phil. I'm your pal. Of course I believe you. I know how it works. But the guy and the cop may believe you. Because how many cops in America do you think have porn on their computer? Shall we just say all of them and get it out of the way? You got it. All of them. All the coppers have got porn. All the men have got porn. But if you happen to get taken away to a teen site or whatever, any underage site, they're going to find that, and you are going to be dead meat. And there's no way that you defend yourself against the accusation of being a child, a porn pervert, even if you're innocent. Even if you're innocent. Because today, the accusation of being a pervert is the same as in the 50s being called a communist. You're just guilty. Now you know why people were blowing their brains out in the 50s. Wouldn't you kill yourself? If they called you a pervert, if they said that you trafficked in child porn, it was absolutely untrue, but nobody believed you, and you were on your way to the can, wouldn't you put a freaking gun in your, barrel of a gun in your mouth? Why not? Oh, Phil, why are you talking like that? There's always hope. Oh, get out of here. Excuse me, I got a cough. I don't know where I got it all of a sudden. Hope springs eternal, Phil. And if you're innocent, you're innocent. And you should always... okay, well, thanks, Rebecca. Don't you have to get back and milk the cows? I didn't know you were around. Fact of the matter is you can ruin someone's life with an accusation like that. Ruin it. And during the time that the priests were getting, that whole thing was going on, the Catholic priests, which I was as happy as anybody to see that go down, I often wondered, I wonder if any of these guys are innocent. I wonder how many of these guys that are being accused of this are innocent. And nobody wanted to hear that. You know, nobody, what are you talking? They're all guilty. What are you? What do you want to mess up our fun? No, I mean, you may be accusing innocent... Oh, forget it. They're all a bunch of pervs. What the hell are they priests for anyway? They're all sick. I want to be a priest. That's the sickest thing a guy could want to be. The sickest, most vile, disgusting thing a guy would want to be is a Catholic priest. What's your son do for a living? He's a priest. He's over here at the parish, and he's a wonderful guy. He helps the poor. So, Pete Townsend is already a pervert, even though there's a possibility the guy's innocent. Not that anybody cares. Okay, it just gave us an opportunity to play some of this direct. Well, that's Todd Rundgren. Get out of here. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. To order any of our Best Of CDs, please call this number, 877-616-PHIL. If you need information, 411. And if it's an emergency, 911. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And then there's my house where my kids play Halo. And Halo is a game that I'm not quite sure I know what the point of it is. I think you're transported to another planet. You land there and you get into a firefight with an opponent. But my daughter was playing it by herself because the boys, they kind of take over every video game there is. And she rarely gets an opportunity to play, so we let her plug this thing in, and she's playing by herself. She's going, watch this. I will now dome him. I'm going, dome him? Where do you learn this? It's a headshot. You didn't know that? And she says, I will dome him. Well, what it is, these games are so realistic, I'm telling you. The guy's walking along. She takes a shotgun and blows this guy's head off. Then she takes the little infrared thing and goes, now I'm going to get him in a bad place. She's pointing right at the guy's nutsack. This is Catherine. You know? And then, I said, what would you guys do if you really encountered this in real life, something like this? And my son, the youngest, goes, I would have the skills to deal with it because I've played Halo. Oh, yeah. Roger Wilco and out, my man. Yeah, you do not fire a gun by pushing it with your thumb and then feeling the rheostat shaking in your hand, you know. But when I heard Catherine come out with that, I will now dome him. Dome him? Chrome to the dome, huh? That was pretty weird. In any event, that's what goes on at my house. And so I've said time and again to my wife, I'd really rather they not play these games. And she says, well, you know, they need to relax. And I said, okay, I understand. And it just, they look a little too violent for my taste. And, you know, forget it, man. The games are fine. The parents are the ones that are absolutely in need of some retooling and rewiring. Nothing wrong with our kids at my house other than the fact. Now, me, on the other hand, I've got porn on my hard drive. 1-800-449. I can't believe nobody has anything to say about Pete Townsend. I saw the calls coming in, but Chris is blowing them off the line. I guess you suck today. Those phone calls must be the worst. Every day I see these calls come in, and Chris is pretty ruthless. And then generally what he puts on the air is pretty bad, too. And I think, well, how bad were the ones he didn't let on the air? It's got nothing to do with Pete Townsend. What it has to do with is the naivete of people with computers. Everything you visit, Charlie, is on that computer. And the day may come when your wife wants to divorce you, and she says, oh, and by the way, I think he's guilty of molesting our children. Well, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, you better get his computer. Oh, yeah? I don't know if women do that anymore, but they used to do it all the time. They'd say if they really wanted to stick it to a guy, well, he molested the kids. Now, how the hell are you going to defend yourself against that, right? That's number one. Number two, if perchance you have a computer and there is something on it, just even if it ain't kid porn, if it's just adult porn, You're a sick, twisted bastard. You see what they did to those Buckleys? Remember the family with that McMartin preschool? There was a school in Los Angeles back in the 80s that was a daycare center. And some completely insane woman accused the people that ran the school of perversions with the children, which proved to be untrue. They proved to be completely unfounded. But in the process, they tried to take every small bit of behavior by these people and turn it into the most running sore of despicable acts. I think one of the people dated a woman and had sex with her, and that's kind of, well, really? Well, yeah. That's kind of weird, isn't it? What's weird about it? Well, you know, you run a daycare center. Should you be doing that? What are you talking about? I had sex with her in my apartment. It was like, I don't know, man. Do you wear underwear? Maybe that was the early 80s. Some guys didn't wear underwear, Craig. And so you don't wear underwear, do you? No, I don't. Oh, that's pretty weird, man. I mean, why? You got this thing with the kids. I mean, dude, I'm wearing underwear when I'm over there. I'm not wearing underwear when I'm on a date with a woman. What are you guys trying to do? What are you trying to trump up here? And they can make up anything they want. Townsend's dead. Dead. All right, here, I got the stats. We've got, in the United States of America, we have 138 million men. 138 million males, I should say. 143 million females. So that's a difference of 5 million. So there's 5 million spare women just running around out there. 5 million spares. So we got a little bit of a pick going here, guys. 138 million men. And of that 138 million males, I should say, there's probably a good... What do you think? I'm going to say there's 100 million... There's 70 million adult men. Now, there's computers are in 60% of all homes. So, what's 60% of the 7? It's about 40 million. 40 million guys have computers. 40 million guys with computers. 40 million computers with kid porn on them. American computers with kiddie porn on it. I know why nobody's calling. These guys are busy taking their hard drives out and running them over with their cars. That's why. I'm hitting too close to the bone here with this one. You start chuckling about Pete Townsend, you better get into your computer, man, and you better just throw it away. Go down there to Best Buy or Circuit City, get yourself a brand new, spanking clean one. And if I was a guy with a really bad sense of humor and I just really wanted to have a couple of kicks and I was selling computers for a living, I'd sell a guy a hard drive with a little bit of kiddie porn thrown in there. So the... How do you know they're not doing that? How do you know these guys that are selling you computers are not selling you a computer with some kid stuff already on it just because the guy didn't like your looks and you gave him a little bit of crap while he was selling the computer? Here's Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Phil. It's your buddy from Salt Lake, ATK Aerospace.
How you doing, man?
Hey, good. You know, I have that experience with our old computer. I never went down any of those sites until one night I thought, well, I'll try some of those porn sites. The next morning, my wife gets on that computer, and we have got solicitations up the yin-yang from all these porn sites.
Well, what did you do? Did you give them a credit card?
Why are we getting these all of a sudden, Dave? I said, honey, I have no idea.
But why did you give them a credit card?
I didn't do a credit card. I just went into their site.
No, it's impossible for them to start sending you solicitations.
No, I didn't. I'm telling you.
You liar.
I am
lying. Dirty sack of... You pervert! Oh, I'm sorry. I cut him off. I have never gotten any solicitation from any porn site. And I've been to porn sites. The really old ones. The old lady ones. I never got it. On my email? Forget it. Never happens. You want to know why? I got Earthlink. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I want to get to Lloyd. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd?
Yes, sir. I wanted to shift gears a little bit and get it off the pornography, if I could.
Can I ask you just a quick question? I'll let you say whatever you want.
You know, sir, if you're going to ask me about pornography, I'd rather...
Well, I just wondered, have you ever had porn?
No, sir, I have not.
You've never had it on your
No, sir, I have not. I'm a married man of 43 years. I raised a daughter to be a good woman. I'm a Korean War veteran. No, sir, I do not. No, sir, I do not.
Well, can I ask you this, sir?
Sir, I called up...
Can I just ask you one thing? When you were in the Korea, you say a Korean veteran?
Yes, sir. I served with the United States Navy. It was at Chosin Reservoir when we evacuated the Marines out of there.
All right. Congratulations, and thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Did you ever get, like a prostitute or something?
You know, Mr. Hendry, I enjoy listening to your program.
Yeah.
But I think you're asking a very personal question. And I'll tell you something right now, and I would go even further. If you were standing in front of me and asking me that question face-to-face, then I would hurt you in ways. So can I get on?
Didn't want you to hurt me. I just wondered, that's all, if you had availed yourself in those ways. But you're right. Didn't want to offend you.
Well, you already have, sir.
All right, well, I'm sorry.
Can I go on with my point?
Go ahead.
I was calling originally, sir, to let seniors know something, that they can save some money. And let me tell you this, there's a motel chain, and I'm not going to mention who they are, but my wife and I travel to Portland once a year to visit my daughter. She lives up there with her husband, and we have a grandson there as well. And we use the recreational vehicle.
Okay.
And there's a motel chain, and they've been lying through their teeth like liars for years about their prices. And I don't like liars. Now, they tell you...
Well, what are they lying about?
Well, they make you believe that what they're doing... what they say is they call themselves... like they have one price, but they really don't have the price.
Okay, I don't understand, but...
Well, look, my wife and I, we don't stand on ceremony. We get going, and we're on our way to Portland. Now, I pulled into this motel, and they charge $43.99 a night. Hello.
I'm here. What do you want me to say?
$43.99 a night for one person. You know, so...
okay, so...
So, and for two people, they charge $49.99 a night. And that is highway robbery. They might as well take a gun and put the barrel in my mouth. So let me tell you what we did, and I want that motel chain to know we did this. And they know who they are when they heard me quote those prices.
All right, don't mention any names.
No, I won't.
So what did you do?
I pulled into the Motel 6 over here in Red Bluff, California a week ago. I had my wife lay down on the seat so they couldn't see that there was another person. Pulled down away, far away from the office. Now, I got out of the car, closed it, and left the keys there in case my wife had to move the rig because we've got a 35-footer. Got an Airstream on the back, which I got it.
Okay, just tell me what you did when you got into the motel.
Anyway, I go down to the motel, and I say to the young man there, single, please. And he says something smart-ass like, okay, pops, which I didn't want to start a fight because then I'd get thrown out. He gives me the key. I go down. Now I got a single for $43.99, and guess what I did?
You went to the car, got your wife out of it, and brought her into the room.
And I guess you think you're pretty GD smart for figuring that out. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, good for you. So you screwed them out of their $6.
You better got go. Boy, did I love it. I loved it no end. So they know who they are, the motel chain, and they can kiss my sweet, wrinkled ass on Main Street because I don't care. For them to say that they charge a certain price when they don't,
well, I think I know who you're talking about, although there's several of them that have a number in their name, shall we say?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't think it's fair to assume that that number represents the price per night.
Oh, baloney. That's exactly what they said when they first put the things in. No. You can't.
And as a matter of fact, they may be a sponsor of ours. They're still a very, very...
Well, I don't give a sweet Christ if they're a sponsor of yours.
But the fact is, it's still a really good buy, isn't it?
Not good enough for me. They might as well take a gun and cram it right up my you-know-what and say, yeah, can we have all the money in your wallet? For what? I'm pulling in a 30-foot rig?
Look, it's $6, sir, to get two beds. Just a $49.99 for two people instead of $43.99 for a single.
Uh-huh.
And that's too much.
You know, yes, it's too much. Whatever, who am I talking to myself? Yes, it's too much. Most seniors are on a fixed income, sir, but you wouldn't know what that is, would you? Since you probably take your paycheck, go down to the bank and have it cashed out in the entire cash, money, and just spend it on liquor. So you run through thousands of dollars in one night.
That's what I do, pal.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Hey, well, let me see. Congratulations on sticking it to some motel chain for $6.
I bet you think that's small potatoes, don't you?
I think it's not worth it for your wife to sleep on the floor, and you get to sleep in the bed.
Yeah, look, if they want an extra $6 for my wife Gladys to lay her head on a pillow, tell you what, they're going to have to get their clothes off.
All right. That's great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Extremism. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I just saw that Disneyland is going to be opening in Hong Kong. Now, Hong Kong, I've been in China, but I've never been to Hong Kong. And you'll say to me, well, so what's the difference? When I was in China, there was a huge difference because Hong Kong was still being run by the British. And the China that I went to was mainland China, which was nothing, man. I mean, it was very Spartan and, how do I say this without sounding, you know, chauvinistic. Reminded me a lot of Mexico. Now, anyway, well, you know, the houses that are half-built, they just left the boards there in case someday somebody wants to come along and finish it. You ever go to Mexico and you see, like, there's a building there with a rebar sticking up? How long has it been there? Oh, 10 years. Well, why don't they just knock it down? I mean, well, you know, a guy may come along and say, well, look at this. I think I'll finish this building. Hong Kong was living large until the Chinese took it over. Now they're losing money. The economy's in the toilet. What does that tell you? Isn't that just the perfect capper on anybody who thinks for even remotely that communism's a really good idea economically? I forget about whether it believes in God or not. I could care less. I'm just talking about whether this thing makes anything work. They're just cranking along, living beautifully, and then the next thing you know, the Chinese take it over, and everybody's walking around looking for cigarette butts. So what's their bright idea? They're going to put Disneyland there. Why don't they just do what they used to do? Lots and lots of nightclubs, a lot of discos, a lot of bars, lots of big companies, a lot of Jackie Chan movies. Let's go, baby. All right. Speaking of terrorism, Bobby Dooley was on our program Friday. Bobby is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. She was on to talk about how filling gas tanks of SUVs is supporting terrorism. A lot of people who think that if you've got one of those big gas guzzlers, you're just putting money into the pockets of people that want to destroy this country. However, because she's a very busy woman and she has three very active sons, she's exempt. And didn't we get an email on that, Janice? Did you want me to read that before? Okay, never mind. Here's Bobby Dooley talking about her Cadillac Escalade from Friday's show.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I manufacture a product that the consumer wants. It's in material what it happens to be, and there's a lot of whistling in the background. And
are you hearing whistling? Okay.
Yes, I do, sir.
All right, sir, go ahead.
And as a result, the supplier, the manufacturer, tremendous amount of whistling, and I think it's totally discourteous that the people are talking.
I have her on hold, sir, and I'm not hearing it. Is it possible it's on your end?
It possibly could be.
All right, go right ahead.
But it just seems like it's just when I'm trying to talk that it happens to crop up.
It could be something. Okay, go ahead.
And anyways, that
because I'm hearing you fine. I'm hearing you fine, John. There's no interference at all.
And people do buy a product, and they want to be able to buy a product they want. The manufacturer will build that product in order to supply the people. And if you remember going back some years with the mink coat, now somebody decided that nobody should wear a mink coat. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. Yes, I can hear you fine.
It's amazing that I get a tremendous squeal.
Can I ask you a question? You don't wear any kind of a hearing device or anything like that?
No, sir.
All right, sir.
No, sir. And it's just like these liberal politicians in Washington. They sit in their ivory tower. They decide what we want to do.
Is he done yet?
Bobby drives an SUV, but I can't drive an SUV because her darling little children are so much better than my darling little children.
Well, the fact is, John, you're killing Americans with your SUV.
Americans too, madam, because you're driving it.
Okay, can I say something now, John?
No.
Do you hear the car running in the background? That's because your conversation was so dull, I'm trying to kill myself with carbon monoxide right now. Thank you a lot. Thank you.
Kill yourself with carbon monoxide and get in your SUV and go somewhere where you won't do that. Get rid of the damn car. It's a Chevy model with a Cadillac name on it.
I'm dying, John. Thank you.
So I'm really not sure what you're trying to prove. And then, Phil, do you hear a lot of noise in the background?
Yeah, she apparently has her car engine running. She's trying to asphyxiate herself.
God bless her. Maybe that would be a big improvement for everybody.
I'm good.
But I think it's such an elitist, absolute elitist attitude she has that her three little darling boys are so special that she can drive an SUV and the rest of us peons can't.
All right. Thank you. All right. One caller is dead and the other one is
1-800-449-8-7. I'm good. I'm on my way, Jesus.
Oh, shut up.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
So is Bobby dead? I guess she gagged herself there. Well, she gets gagged quite a bit. That's the kind of marriage they have. No, she couldn't breathe. I don't know what that had to do with SUVs. That guy was talking and there was feedback and Bobby was trying to kill herself with gasoline, carbon monoxide fumes. But you know what? It made about as much sense as most calls to a talk show. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And that was Bobby Dooley from last Friday's program. And that's probably going to be in our audio archives on our website at philhendryshow.com. You should visit. Check out our audio archives, the long form and the short form. Comedy that we have there from our show. We also have our 30-day archive, and the address is philhendryshow.com. You got a backstage pass. That's how you listen to all of the audio. We don't give it away for free, but we only charge $6.95, so can't be all that bad, can it? I mean, $6.95, that's cheap. It's probably too cheap. It's probably a deal. It's probably a steal. I probably got to raise the price. As a matter of fact, I'm going to raise the price. I'm going to raise the price to $10 a month, so you better get in now while the getting's good. $6.95 a month, because I'm thinking about raising the price to $10 a month. Or maybe I won't. Let's see if that gooses any subscriptions. If you don't get it in now, it's going to cost you $20 next month. That's philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And while we're on the subject, pick up our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. You can do that by calling this number. 877-616-PHIL. My understanding is you guys have been breaking records across the board, picking up this CD this in the month of December at least. I've been hearing people say it's just fantastic. The sales have been through the roof. Oh, my God. And expressions like that. And I don't know. I think I saw a number close to 100 G's worth of CD sales in the month of December alone. But you know what? Me being a sort of, a negative guy and always seeing the dark side, that's probably because it was Christmas and the sales will fall off to near nothing this month. I believe that that's going to be the case, Chris. You don't have to keep staring at me like that. I'm just joking. What a whack job. Just answer the phone, will you? Just please answer the phone, huh? He's taking it personally, I know. Let me ask you something, man. What's your relationship like with your father? Is it okay? It's thumbs up? I don't think so. I think I need to evaluate it for you. I think you need the Marines. You should, if anybody would have benefited from the military, you would have. Shave that freaking beard, shave that hair off, those tats, they'd peel the skin off you in the first 6 weeks. Paris Island, man, that's what you needed. Chris thinks he'd be 4F. No, they take gays now. See, so you'd be fine. You'd be a 4F because you're homosexual, say, 10 years ago. But now you'd be fine, man. And now that they got robots, they're training for the military. Did you see this? They're going to be dropping robots out of the sky and all that crap. Hey, what do you think, man? Are we going to go to war or not? You know what? Here's what I want to say, and I know nobody's really paying attention to it. Here's why people are not talking about this possible war with Iraq now. Because they think it's going to be just like the Gulf War. And before the Gulf War, there was a lot of nervousness because they thought that war was going to be just like Vietnam. And it wasn't. So everybody was sweating a possible war with Iraq back in 1990 because they thought it would be another Vietnam, and it was not another Vietnam. It was drop some bombs, send in the Marines for like 3 days. That's the end of the war. You know, we liberated Kuwait in about 6-8 weeks. This war now is coming up, and everybody thinks, oh, it'll be just like that one, so nobody's worried. When in point of fact, this war is going to resemble Vietnam more in terms of tactics than the Gulf War. There's going to be a much larger troop movements, much, much larger concentrations of forces, more mechanized units. There may be, they're saying, more urban fighting, more street to street, house to house fighting. It's going to be one hell of a deal. Now, everybody is like sort of on the fence. And I'm fine with it, man, because I realized that a long time ago that somebody wants to destroy this country, and I thought, would it be a nice idea if we went and we got them first? I don't know. Maybe you disagree. But 3,000 people were cooked in the World Trade Center, and I figured, you know, we got to start getting serious because they're getting serious on us. But there's still people messing around with, well, I don't think that the war should be fought. I think we should have, negotiations of some kind. Here's what I'm going to say to that. If you don't shut up, Barbara, Martin, and the rest of you, I'm never going to watch one of your movies, your TV show, or buy another record album from you again. I'm done. I'm going to go see that Gangs of New York, Scorsese, but you better shut it up. We're almost on our way in to see that flick. And from what I hear, you could use every ticket sale. My wife says, okay, I'll go. I really want to see it. But if I hear one more peep out of your mouth about Iraq, I will not go, even though I get in for free because I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild, and a lot of people don't know that between January and March of every year, members of SAG get in free to every movie because they think that we vote on it for the Academy Awards, which I don't, nor would I, did I have the chance, but I do use the card to get in free, so I'm screwing somebody. Thank you. But you know what I mean, right? Good. 1-800-449-86. You think I'm kidding? I get in free to every movie between January and March because of the SAG card. Why? Because they want me to look at it. Why? Because they think I'm voting for the Academy Awards. Am I? No. But I can get into porn movies too. And you could use it, Chris, for that kiddie porn that you... Anyway, Phil Hendry Show. I'm only kidding.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, Stephen Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California. Joins us on our Newsmaker line to talk about a neighbor. He, his wife, you guys were having supper together. This is all about child pornography that you would like to have brought to the attention of school officials and the media in general?
Well, we have a friend. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And we have a friend who probably doesn't know that he's done anything wrong, but the pictures that he has, I think, gives an idea to the child pornographers of what they're doing. Now, this is a man and a woman.
Yeah, you're talking about a man and a wife and pictures of their own children, right?
That is true, but some of the pictures I didn't think should have been shown. And I'll tell you right now, I was a little bit taken aback.
Tell me, was he and his wife showing you and your wife pictures of their kids?
They have three children. They have two twins, and they have an older daughter. And they're three female girls. And she had twins, and then the one girl that's older, she shows us a picture of them, and they're all taking a bath together. They have no clothes on.
But surely people take pictures of their kids having baths.
That is true. However, You put that together with the fact that there's one pic. These are all females, so there's no tops on any of these little girls. They are sitting in a bathtub. You can see under the water. They also had pictures of one of their daughters standing in diapers outside. Actually, two of the girls were standing in diapers outside. I had a problem with that picture.
Well, all right, Mr. Bozell.
Let me just tell you all the pictures, Phil, and you can comment.
Go ahead.
And then the third picture, which I thought was most troubling of all, was of a baby laying with no clothes on a rug of some kind, which some people say, well, people do that all the time. I will tell you right now, I looked at these pictures. I felt very uncomfortable because I recognized that what I was staring at could possibly be the beginnings of some kind of child porn.
Now, surely you're not suspecting a man and his wife taking pictures of their children of creating pornography.
I'm saying it is bad judgment. No, I'm not saying that these people are pornographers. I'm saying they're exercising bad judgment. Well, we live in a society at a time when there are every kind of pervert and there's every kind of sickness out there and there's every kind of indecent behavior going on. You cannot, for one minute, I think, keep your foot off the gas. You have got to go forward and make sure that you're not encouraging any of this. Now, the problem with this is, I had to suggest to them that at least they could have the police come over and review the pictures to make sure there was nothing wrong, and they suggested that I get out of their home. This has damaged a friendship of long standing. This has damaged my wife's relationship with Rick's wife of long standing because I'm trying to be a decent man. So I will tell people out there, if you take a stand for morality, get ready to take a few hits.
All right, I'm talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. You have a problem with the pictures of the nude kids, the nude pictures?
Well, yes, sir.
All right, that your friends had. Now, these are of their children. Now, a lot of people consider these traditional pictures. You could take a picture of a child in a bathtub, you take a picture of a child in a diaper, or you take a picture of a child on a bearskin rug nude. Some people would consider these traditional and not sexual.
But the problem is that these are the very pictures that give the pornographers their ideas on how to pose the kids and everything like that. And I think it has encouraged the child pornography business, because I'll ask you a question straight up. What's the point of taking a picture of a kid in a bathtub?
It's a memory.
Really? It's a memory of your kid with no clothes on? Is that it? See, this is the thing that I ask people, and they never have no answer for it, and that's how I know I'm on the right track. I'll always ask them, okay, how come you're taking a picture of your kid with no clothes on? And they'll never have no answer for it. The reason why they don't have no answer is because there's no defense.
All right, I want to get to you were upset with a picture of the little girl in the diaper?
Yes, sir.
Why is that? That is not, that's fine. She's wearing a diaper.
Okay, that's true. But you have to understand again, this is a female. She's not wearing a top of any kind.
She's a baby. She's a little baby.
I understand that, Mr. Henry, but I think, still and all, in order to keep ourselves on the right side of the line here, because all I'm trying to do is make sure people's behavior is on the right side of the line. Put a top on the child. It's not going to take any more time.
But it's just not, it doesn't, for me at least, would not even begin to hint at anything wrong, not having a top on a baby girl. Wouldn't you say?
I would say that we'd have to face that some parents who take pictures of their babies in the bathtub have given the perverts the ideal of child porn, and I think that we have got to now roll that back.
You're now blaming parents with the pictures of their babies either in a bathtub or with no clothes on, giving child porn perverts the idea.
Inadvertently, sir.
Well, I think that's a heck of an accusation.
But I'm saying inadvertently. I'm saying they did not know it.
All right, Steve Bozell is with us. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I know you, along with your church and other activists in your neighborhood, are looking at family albums, right?
That is right.
Now, you're going door-to-door when?
This weekend, we will be knocking on doors, asking to look at family albums. We're not going to do anything wrong. We'll just see if they've got no pictures of no nude kid in there. If they do, we will suggest that they have the police review it.
You're not trying to confiscate any pictures?
No, sir, we are not. We are not trying to I might ask to photocopy some so we can have them. I think if people don't want to show me no pictures, then I think we've got an idea of what's going on.
Well, wait. You're going to have to hold on there for a minute.
Well, Mr. Henry.
No, you got to hold on for a minute. If you come to my door and you say, I'd like to see your family album, do you have any pictures of your children?
Yep.
And I say, no, I don't really want to show them to you. You're telling me that makes me look guilty?
I think it does make you look guilty. I'm not going to assume you're guilty, but I think it makes you look guilty in the eyes of the people that I'll be with from my church and a lot of people on my street.
And you think that that's fair or right of them?
No, I don't think it's fair or right, but I can see how they do it because you're being not cooperative, see? So,
all right, so you come to my door and you say, yes, Mr. Henry, do you have a family photo album so we can see your children when they were young and make sure none of them are in the nude? And I say, no, you may not. You'll say to me what?
I'll say, have a nice night. Have a nice night. I'm sorry you're not cooperative. Have a good life. You know, and let the chips fall where they may.
Okay, so you're intimating that I'll be in trouble.
I'm not intimating nothing. All I'm trying to do and all of the church that I'm not...
Well, it sounds like that.
All I'm trying to do and all our church is trying to do is to make sure that parents don't have in their possession photographs of their children sitting in a bathtub or running around in a diaper with no top on or laying on a little rug with the bare, the bare...
rear end?
Yeah, the child has no pants on. And one of the things you have to understand is that it's you never know when it's going to hit you.
What is? When I see a kid on a bearskin rug, I think it's a corny shot. I think I've seen it a million times. I think it's pretty stupid. I don't know what...
Well, they're right there. So you think it's stupid?
Well, I just think it looks dopey. I'm not saying it's pornographic.
Look, you don't know when it's going to strike you. I saw these pictures at Jarvis's house, and all of a sudden my mouth started to get dry. I started to sweat. My knees felt weak. And I said, oh, my God, what if I were a pervert? I'm looking at pictures of a kid in a bathtub and a child with a diaper. And I had to sit down. When I got home, I felt like I was going to spit up. Because
what was upsetting you?
What was upsetting me is...
Yeah, you're having this reaction.
What was upsetting me is, if I'd been a perv, oh boy, I would have been all over that like white on rice. Now, the children had no tops on, and they're girls. Girls is supposed to wear tops, and they can't go out with their breasts hanging out. Now, you can ask my wife about that. She has never got...
Your wife is a grown woman, sir, with a fully developed body. These are infant girls, infant females, if you will, with absolutely nothing to be ashamed of other than the fact that maybe they got a father who's a little, you know, overbearing.
And what does that mean, sir?
That doesn't mean you. I mean, maybe they've got a father who is... who's going to make them, like every boy they go out with is going to have to go through a lie detector test. In other words, make them ashamed of their sexuality. You may be on your way to... Do you have a daughter?
I have a daughter I love very much.
Well, you may be on your way to doing that to your daughter. 1-800-44...
sir, I have a...
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Alan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
My point is that if somebody's looking at a picture like he's describing and they're thinking something is vulgar and nasty about that, there's something wrong with the way their mind works.
Well, now,
there's something wrong with the person's mind viewing the picture, and they need the help, not the person that took the picture of the little kid in a diaper.
Do you believe in kitty porn? Of course you don't.
How do you know if a child is a boy or a girl if they're so little they're in a diaper?
They have a long hair and they got a pink ribbon on, sir. That always connotes whether it's a girl or a boy. Now, I asked you a question. You didn't want to give me an answer right away. I said, do you believe in child porn?
That's a stupid question, but, Alan?
Do I believe it exists?
Do you think they have a right to make it?
I don't think you should do things like that, and I don't think you should.
Okay.
Your mind should work like that.
And
other than that, I know nothing about it.
How come these parents are giving them ideas?
Of a baby laying on a rug, and you think there's something sexual about it, there's something wrong with
porn. No, you missed my point. I said that's giving the porn people an idea. See? So the best thing for parents to do is not to have no nude pictures of their kids around to give these porn guys an idea. And that's why we're going to go door-to-door this weekend to ask people if they've got no nude pictures of their kids. We'd be really happy if they just take them out and destroy them so that we're not given any ideas.
Well, now they got to take them out and destroy them.
I indicated that, sir.
You need to take the people that have that kind of problem out and do something with them or take care of them. They're the ones with the problem, not the people with the picture.
Well, I mean,
the picture of your baby is your own business, and who's going to be looking at your family album, for goodness sake? You don't publish it.
Well, yeah, but you invite people in your house, go, oh, look, take a look at the picture of the kids, and before I know it, I'm looking at this kid all nude and everything. I didn't ask to see that. He's showing it to me. I never asked to see it.
It's a baby.
Then you have some guy in your house think something's wrong with it. No wonder they asked you to leave. Goodness sake, that's kind of spooky.
Sir, I bet.
They did. They asked you to leave when you suggested that they have the police review these pictures to see if they're pornographic. All right, Alan, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Jay, who is this? This is Steve Bozell. That's the guy that, okay. Steve Bozell, he's not with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. No, he's with his private church group, and he is going, this weekend, they're going to go door-to-door and ask to see people's family albums. Apparently, he believes that these baby pictures that many of us take of our kids sitting in a bathtub, running around the yard in a diaper, whatever they're doing, give child pornographers ideas, and that we really shouldn't be taking these pictures. The most bizarre comment, though, and Janice, I'm going to have to check with you on this during the break, should infant baby girls have to wear tops? He thinks these topless pictures of these girls is sick as well. Not surprising his friend asked him to leave his home. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, we would do that too.
I tell the audience about that. We have Stephen Bozell of Corona, California's construction contractor. You're going to have a mass burning of these photos at your church when?
On Saturday afternoon, we are asking people in the Corona area to come to Second Bethlehem, which is on Meade Avenue, and bring these photographs of your children that you took with all the best intentions, but show the children taking a bath or standing outside just wearing shoes and nothing else, or if they're little girls and they only have a diaper with no top. Now, one afternoon, I saw the Jarvis girls playing in their front yard, and I went up and I asked them if Daddy takes pictures of them with their little shirts on or off, and they went and told their daddy. And he come out and he says, I told you to stay away from my home. And I said, so that proves that you got something to hide. And we got in a pretty good screaming match there.
Well, I wouldn't. You know, if I were you, man, I'd stay far, far away from that guy's house. Mr. Bozell, I have to be honest with you. I'm surprised the guy didn't clock you one. I'm surprised.
Well, I know some people react that way, but I don't believe in no porn.
And well, come on. You got to understand. You even you said the parents have the best of intentions. You can't accuse a man of promulgating that kind of thing without getting without him getting angry at you. Here is Cindy on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
How are you? I got a question. How can someone look at a baby picture and say it's porno? I don't care what it is. A baby comes out.
Oh, naked. Really? Have you been to some of these porn sites they got?
No, I don't go to them. I don't have.
Well,
to.
Well, lady, I'm going to have to
tell you. That way.
They got nude kids on them.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you look at a baby on a porn site? Why are you going to
those porn sites? I don't go to those porn sites. I don't.
Then how do you know?
Well, how do you know they exist?
I don't. You just said they did.
So you don't know they exist. I see. Okay.
I've heard that. I don't go look.
You must be so stupid.
That's not looking. Let's assume.
Lady, no,
if you don't know that kitty porn sites exist, you must have no brains upstairs where your brain's supposed to be.
Let's assume that people don't have to go to a. Hold on. Let's assume that people don't have to go to a kitty porn site to know they exist.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell her, but she's so dumb.
Okay, fine.
I'm sorry. That's funny.
Well, you are. You said to me, oh, I don't know they exist. That's about as dumb a thing as I ever heard.
You're a Christian man, and you're talking like this on a radio station?
Wow, that's totally great. I'm telling you the truth.
That's not Christian-like. Don't call me dumb.
Yeah, it is.
I'm very far from it.
Yeah.
First off,
I'm a Christian, okay? And you're about as dumb as they come. And I'm telling you that out of compassion because Jesus said give people what they need, not necessarily what they want. Right now what you need is a swift kick in the ass.
And that's real Christian-like,
okay, hold on.
Isn't it?
Yes, it
the
is,
ma'am. The language is it, too, right?
Oh, where's
don't
it say you can't say
Christian
ass?
Don't give Christian people a bad name by
where's
getting on the radio and
where,
talking
where
like
it say,
this.
Where's it say you
not
can't
what
say
it's
ass?
About.
Where's it say you can't say ass?
Well, I'm just saying that you're not talking like a Christian.
I'm
you're
talking just like a Christian.
Like.
I'm trying to keep you
and
from taking your little kiddie porn pictures.
I don't look at baby pictures and think it looks like a porno.
Oh, really? How do you know?
No, I don't. I think babies are a beautiful thing. They're a miracle from God.
Says who? How do you know?
God says they are.
Can you prove there's God? Wait a second. I thought you didn't know there was kid porn sites. How come you know there's God?
I didn't say there was. I just said, I don't think it's porn. You're the one that said it was.
Oh, you think the kiddie porn sites aren't porn? And you go to them and you think they're real good?
You're showing sick.
No, ma'am.
You're
you just said you don't think it's porn on a kiddie porn site.
No, now, I said I don't think baby pictures
and
are
for
porn.
For a Christian woman to say that,
I
now
do
you let
not,
everybody think
no.
that Christians believe in porn. Porn. Oh, see,
hey,
she can laugh
you know
all she wants. Mr.
You
Henry,
know what's
Mr. Henry,
you
I,
have met
I,
your
I,
match.
I've tried to commit my. I ain't met my match. You're the one who said the kiddie porn site.
I think baby pictures.
What's your login name, ma'am? Dirty Nasty Mama? I bet you log in on the internet as Christian sex woman or some kind of a nasty
like
ass
you sound like a
thing.
Porn person.
You do too.
You sound like one.
You sound like
the
some chick
talking,
I talked to on a 900
like
line the other night.
No, you're trying to twist my words.
No, ma'am.
I did
no,
not
ma'am.
Say that.
No, ma'am. You said
yes,
to me.
Yes, you are.
No,
I
ma'am.
Did not. I you said I do not think a baby picture looks like porn.
You said to me that you didn't think porn sites, kitty porn sites were porn.
No.
But the point what she was
not.
Trying to say
you
was.
You are a
no, ma'am.
I did not.
You said. You know something? You sound like you can type, ma'am. You sound like you can type with one hand. You know what that means?
I can do what with one hand?
Type with one hand.
How do you know?
Well, you sound like it.
Oh, is that right? How could you tell that?
Because you sound like you got a dirty mind.
Well, can we stop?
I said something about porn and
can we stop with this? Let's get to the point, okay?
And I don't like you laughing at me either.
Well, that's because what you're saying is wrong.
See, women that laugh at men. Don't know that when you laugh at a man, you make it difficult for him to perform sexually, too. That's
my husband's here. You want to ask him that?
Yeah, I'd love to ask him.
Lord.
Yeah, she's laughing, see.
Son,
well,
son
wait.
Tell you something.
Look at Cindy.
You are giving Christians a real
no,
bad
no, ma'am, you are. You're the one who said that kiddie porn was not bad.
I just said
no,
I didn't think that a picture of a baby was pornography. Hold on, my husband's here. You can ask him
if
it affects him. Hold on.
Hey, sir. Hey, sir.
Phil?
Hey, sir. Sir, when your wife laughs at you, how many days does it take before you can get it up again?
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Bozell, I want to ask you a question. You were saying to me during the break, we're with Stephen Bozell, he's campaigning against kiddie porn in a way that is rather unorthodox. You think that family baby pictures that show the child without just wearing a diaper is pornography. Isn't that what you're saying?
I'm saying, Mr. Henry, for the last time, it gives those twisted bastards an idea, the kiddie porn bastards an idea. And let me ask you something. How come you got a picture of your kid nude anyway? Can you answer me that? How come you're running around trying to take... And so what I do is I go up to children on our street if the parents are not around because the child feels maybe more comfortable. And I'll ask them, does mommy or daddy ever take a picture of your private tinkle area? And a lot of...
Oh, come on. You don't go up to the kids, do you?
You think I'm going to ask the parents? They'll lie, just like that lady lied, the one that I just talked to. She lied, God... What we're doing, Mr. Henry, is we're trying to uproot the roots of perversion. Now, you recall here in California, on the Santa Ana Freeway, going down to the beach, you could see every day the copper-toned girl, and she had her panties coming down. Don't you?
Yeah. Well, everybody knows the copper tone kid. And on the freeway, you talk about that sign?
It was the automatic sign.
Yeah, there was an automatic sign to show the dog was going up and down with the pants of the kid. It was to show the tan line on the kid because it was copper tone.
For 15 years, when I come out to California, I would drive down the 5 freeway and I would see that. And my mouth would get dry. My hands would begin to sweat. And I would think, what if I were a pervert? How would I then react to that? And that's when I went on my anti-porn campaign. And I would like to thank God that that sign is not up anymore.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I really missed that copper tone sign. There was nothing pornographic in the least about it. It was cool. It looked bitchin' in the summer. You knew you were heading to the beach. You saw the copper tone, you know, kid with the dog. And you guys like you call that porn.
Man, I feel so. I will pray for you, sir.
Please don't pray for me. Please, I don't need you to pray for me.
No, I will pray for you, because I think you are very badly messed up.
Well, at least I'm not messed up good, huh? Here is Kathy on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a couple comments for the gentleman that you're speaking with tonight. The comments are that earlier in the show he said that the pictures of a naked child or a child in a diaper gave child pornographers ideas. My comment is that these child pornographers already have these ideas. They're set in their heads already. They don't need to get ideas.
No, they got the ideas from the pictures of your kid in a diaper. Otherwise, where do they get the ideas from?
They're already
all right,
set.
Okay.
They grew up.
All right, thanks a lot. Here is Jim on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I want to answer that lady's question.
Well, she's gone. Go to this next guy. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I would like to make a couple of comments to this fellow. First
yes,
of all, he's I believe he's got some of these ideas reversed here. He's referring to an innocent child with breasts and referring to their underpants as panties as though these were adults.
Well, how come they're all running around with no tops on?
Excuse me, sir. You have run over everybody that's tried to talk to you. I'd like to voice a couple of comments.
They're going around topless. They're going around topless.
Also, he has described his physical reactions to these innocent baby pictures as being having dry mouth, weak knees, and
do you recognize that?
And all these sexual stimulation.
Wait a second! No, that is not sexual stimulation, sir.
Oh,
no,
absolutely,
sir.
Sexual stimulation, sir. You need some serious counseling, is what you
really
need. You don't need to be going in anyone's houses or addressing anyone's children, asking them about their flowers or any of that business. You are
I agree with that.
Can I ask you? When you see the copper tone girl with her panties coming down, what do you do?
It doesn't bother me a bit. I think it's perfectly innocent, just like it was designed to be. You have some serious problems with your sexual stimulation.
Sir, I am not sexually stimulated. Cottonmouth is not sexual stimulation.
Oh, no.
I'm saying you
don't have control of your physical emotions is your problem.
So you want to go down the freeway and see some dog pulling down the kid's pants?
Listen,
that's
here,
how
my
you get
friend,
your kicks. That's how you get your kicks.
Let's maintain this in the realm that it was meant to be,
exactly,
and not overstep it into the
fantasy
the
land.
Realm of being pornographic.
That carpet-toe girl.
Pornography is because of people like you that are overstimulated by these things. You need serious counseling.
What do I need counseling? I come over to a guy's house to have a pork roast. Next thing I know, he's flashing a picture of his kid in a diaper all over God's good creation.
What's wrong with that?
Well, how come
the problem here is not the guy with the pictures. The problem is having a pervert like you in his house.
So now
if
I'm a pervert.
If he'd known your feelings toward it,
so
he'd
now
probably
I'm a
run your butt home.
So now I'm a pervert because I want to go door to door and make sure nobody has pictures of their kid in a diaper.
I think you're a closet pedophile.
Oh, so now I'm a pedophile and I'm the guy trying to stop it from happening.
I'm reacting to your own stimulation, my friend.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people agree with me, because guess what? You know that copper tone billboard? That ain't up no more. Okay?
Come on down to Florida and come knock on my door, and I'll give you a little piece of what you need, buddy.
Wait a second. I thought you was calling from Texas.
I'm on the road listening on the state line of Texas. I just had to talk to you
because
you are a 100...
I would love to come to your house and ask you. Have you got pictures of your kid in a diaper or nothing like that?
That's none of your business.
So now,
you have no business intruding on people's privacy like you do.
So now you are afraid of showing pictures of diapers because you know it's pervert.
I'm not afraid of anything. I'm afraid of people like you.
Well, all I'm doing is coming to the door and asking if you got none. If you say no, I say, okay, I'll pray for you.
It's none of your business.
It's really
none of your business. We have laws to protect us against people like you. And you're very well acquainted with porn sites, obviously. I've never been to a porn site
I have to do research.
But I do know they exist. You have been to these and derived much stimulation from them.
I gotta do research on them.
Oh, give me a break, man. You use every crutch in the world to advance your interest in these fantasies that you're imagining with these innocent children.
Well,
it's people like you that we need to be protected against.
I have to do research on how sick it is.
You don't have to do anything but mind your business.
Who's going to do it then?
We certainly don't need people like you to get sweaty palms and dry mouth because they see a child in a diaper.
Sir, I'm just upset.
You're obsessed, not upset.
So you're calling me a mental case?
I think that's the bottom line. I think mentally...
I want you guys to spit it out.
I did spit it out. You just have a little problem with comprehension, fella.
No, sir. What did you call me?
I'll do it for you, Jim. I think you're nuts.
I called you a closet pedophile.
Are you calling me nuts?
He just called you a pedophile.
Are you calling me nuts?
He just called you a freaking pedophile. What do you want? You'd rather be a pedophile than nuts?
I want to know if you're calling me nuts.
Yeah, I'm calling you nuts.
What difference does it make? You're bickering over semantics here. If you want to be a pedophile rather than a closet pedophile, suit yourself. But you need some help.
I want to know if you guys are calling me crazy.
Yes. That and pedophile.
So you're calling me both things?
Both things.
You have some serious problems with being stimulated like you are over innocent pictures. It's people like you that force us to protect our children the way we have to do nowadays.
All right. If you're calling me nuts, that's all I wanted to know.
Yes.
You come in my neighborhood and ask one of my children about their flower, and brother, you'll be picking yourself up off the ground. You do not talk to my child like that. It's none of your business.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.
It means he'll kick your ass around the block. That's what it means.
But you think I'm nuts.
I think you're nuts, yeah. All right, thanks a lot. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
I did the voice of Steve, and I did my own voice, and the people who called were real people in the preceding bit. It's Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Now, I had Janice pull some statistics for me when we were doing that bit last hour. I was talking, at least, about porn and how many people in the country. And so she got me these stats from the U.S. Census Bureau. And other than the fact there's 281 million people... 211 million of those are white people. 34 million are black or African American. 2.5 million are American Indian. 10 million are Asian. 400,000 Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander. Some other race, 15.4 million. What would that be, some other race? Hispanic? Two or more races, 6.8 million. Then it says under 18 years of age, 72 million. 65 years older or older, 35 million. Hispanic or Latino, 35 million. White persons not of Hispanic or Latino origin. So that would be like me, some Mick like me, or Taylor or Pelton
or Ms. Ngaro in there, who is Italian, but you're white. 194 million of us. So basically, when I say us, I mean us whites. So basically, of the 281 million, there's 100 and almost 200 million are whitey. What the hell are people talking about? What are people talking about? You know, it won't be long now. We'll all be brown. Nothing but blacks. Yes, sir. Just go to L.A. County. Take a look at what's happening in Miami-Dade. All the spooks. All of those darkies. 200 million are all whiteys. You don't have any white folks. They just went, oh, it's getting too scary. I better go back to my roots. Well, what's that? Oh, you know, lumberjacking up in Oregon or something. I think I'll put on a plaid shirt, grow a beard, and march up and down with a gun in my compound. 200 million of the 281 million stone cold bleached white. But it's that 80 million we got to keep down, huh? Because they're getting a little worried about that. Other interesting stats. Most of us live in the city. 226 million of us live in a metro area. Now, dig this. Of the population of the United States, 53 million live in the Northeast. 64 million live in the Midwest. 63 million live out here in the West. 100 million live in the South. Now, that's happened. Actually, as of 1990, the South's had the most people living in it. See, there's been this thing going on since like the early 70s, even since the late 60s, folks heading south, living in all those towns, Atlanta, Birmingham. You ever been to Birmingham? Birmingham is about as, you know, it's yupped out, man. It's yuppie. There's Starbucks on every corner. You know, you wouldn't, people have an image of Birmingham, Alabama, still with the fire hoses and the black folks. And that, forget that, man. That ain't even happening anymore. You go down to Birmingham and you're going to get your Bruno Maglis on and go to some disco. And, you know, you'll live, get your $1.2 million house. It's the same all over. Atlanta, you don't even know you're in the South anymore. Unless you go down to Deacon Burton's Grill, which, by the way, is fantastic. Get that little bottle of Coke there and some of those hominy grits. Oh, yeah. All the white folks lined up around the block to go in there. Get some of those ribs, man, there at Fat Matt's Rib Shack. Oh, my God, do I miss that. Go in there on a Sunday night. They were playing the blues. There'd be a big, large black lady behind the counter going,
yeah, what do you want?
I'd like to have...
Come on, man. What do you want?
Some of the ribs, please. Can I see them?
Yeah, right here.
They don't look too lean. I'll take them. I went in there with a friend of mine. I don't want to say which religious persuasion, but his last name was Mertz. And anyway, so we're sitting there. I said, okay, Fred, what do you want to do? Let's get some ribs, man. All right. Can I see how lean they are? Oh, get out of here. See how lean they are. What are you, sitting in a deli somewhere? You're going to take the ribs they give you. How lean are they? This is Atlanta, baby. He's going into a rib joint here. And I would get I'd get 2 pounds of these ribs. Just smothered in just a delicious barbecue sauce. And they wrap it in the butcher paper, right? And I'd stick them under my arm like I was just skulking through the night. And I would, you know, and I only live 2 blocks from Fat Matt, so, you know, I would take them through the fog of the mist of the night, and I'd go into my living room just, and I'd open this butcher paper up on my floor and eat them there like an animal. Just tear into them like some dog. That's how freaking good they were. Dude, what's Hoggly Woggly's out here in the valley? Is that any good? Yeah. Is that Uncle Hoggly Woggly? Hoggly Woggly. We got a rib joint in L.A.
Texas Tyler barbecue.
Texas style. Texas style? Texas Tyler style? Oh, okay. Because we got a rib joint in L.A. called Hoggly Woggly's. But, you know, these rib places are... And I ain't talking about Tony Roma's. God bless you guys at Tony Roma's. They'll do in a pinch. We got Bandits up here in T.O. But I'm talking about that real good... I don't know what it is. You just know the guy that cooked them up is out on work release. You know, that's what I want. I want the guys just out on work release.
I can cook a little bit.
All right. And I don't want you messing around either. No drugs on the job or anything.
Yes, ma'am.
You good cook?
Yes, ma'am. I was good in cell block. I worked mess hall.
All right. Now get in there. You mess around, I will port you back in violation of your parole.
Yes, ma'am.
Here it is. Here's Hoggly Woggly's. Now, some of you guys in your town, I know you got some great ones. Atlanta's got some fantastic joints. There's also Miami. I never ate ribs in Miami. I was always eating freaking seafood and crab and stuff like that. Texas-style hot links, sliced beef, sliced pork, sliced ham, spare ribs, served on half a loaf of home-baked bread. Yeah! Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. One half a sliced beef brisket, a sliced leg of pork, half a pound of sliced ham, blah, blah, blah. Where's the really good stuff here? What's with this beef brisket?
It's good about it.
Ugh. Beef ribs, spare ribs, and sliced beef. Beef ribs, spare ribs. We got to go over there, man. It's on Sepulveda Boulevard. It's right up the street here. I got to go. I got to go before I die. All right, if you want to get our CD, and I would suggest you pick it up so you know a little bit more about our radio show, call this number. Don't mess around on the website necessarily. Just call this number. Get your credit card information ready, and they'll ship it out to you. Do we happen to know the shipping time? I think is very quick. I think the turnaround is a few days. 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. It's the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2002. It's called World Famous. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. The kids that are helped at my friend's place come from all over the country. So you may be helping somebody from your neighborhood. Our number again is 877-616-7445 for our Best of CD. And it ships usually in about 3 to 4 days. We'll be right back. It's Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the football season has ended for high school. I don't know if you got a kid in football, and much of the fall sports have come to an end. We had our big sports banquets on Saturday night. Vernon Dozier, who is coach of the varsity football over at Belmar Academy, and Coach Dozier, you also teach math?
I teach senior math. We teach senior health as well, Phil. That's correct.
And you guys had your sports banquet Saturday night?
We did indeed have. We basically honored our outgoing seniors and all the kids in the sports, and then we had the football awards afterwards, which I presided over.
And were you a little emotional?
Oh, I wouldn't say I was emotional because we'll be back next year, but we are sad to see our seniors go. But I tell the parents every year, the best thing you can do for these boys is to help them... I guess toughen up. So many of these kids. Well, I'll give you an example of what happened on Saturday night. My football players, these are my kids. They represent me in the football program. And boy, year after the year we had, you hate to see somebody let you down and ruin the evening. And for my wife, Carol, and I, it ruined our evening.
Well, what happened?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. One of our seniors, Danny Petricelli, started crying when he came up to accept the Scholar Athlete Award. And boy, what a... Man, that sticks the knife right into the evening, you know.
Well, what happened? What, he started to cry?
Well, during the middle of the season, we had a father-son... Here's what happened, the reason why I was crying. During the middle of the season, we had a father-son breakfast. And his father's an absentee father, so I stood in as the father. And I guess you could say I was his dad for the day, and it was very nice, and I was happy to do it. But I didn't know the kid was going to stick the knife in my back, because what he did was, on Saturday night, he mentioned me standing in as his dad... And he started to cry like he plays with dolls, and I wanted to crawl under the table.
Well, wait, Coach, the kid was grateful. He was grateful that you stood in as his father.
Well, let me explain something to you.
No, I want you to know he was crying because didn't you get that?
Well, let me explain. He makes me look like I'm coaching a T-ball team when he does that. Now, you got to understand something. This is football. When I get a young man like this...
Do you like this kid?
I like Danny. He's a great football player. He's one of the best defensive linemen we've got. And with luck, we think that he's going to be going to UCLA.
Good. Congratulations.
Right. But do you think that I'm going to let them know about him bawling like he plays with dolls? Because he's crying like he plays with dolls, and that makes me look like maybe I put a skirt on. This is football, Phil. And for some kid at our sports banquet to stand up and go, and I want to thank Coach, you know, this is what he's doing. I don't mean to make fun of him or anything. He says, I want to thank Coach Dozier for being, you know, standing in for my dad. And then he starts crying. I might as well have had him take a steak knife and just stick it up and then gut the liver a little bit. That's how it felt.
I'm talking to Coach Vernon Dozier about his sports banquet. You had a senior thank you for standing in as his father and just thanking you in general for being his coach, and he cried while he did it. Coach, I got to tell you, it's a compliment. The kid was moved. He was honoring you.
All he did was slow the night down, Phil. I understand these kids. I work with them all year long. I try to make them good football players. I would hope that they would have as much respect for me as I have for them. My wife, Carol, had gone over to the Triplex, which was across from the restaurant we were at. She got two tickets for the 10:30 show on the Gangs in New York. Because this guy has to bust down and start bawling, crying me a river. Guess what? The night slowed down. We missed the 10:30 start for Gangs in New York. And then he comes up to me after, and here's the thing, he comes up to me after the banquet, throws his arms around me like the two of us are queer for each other. And
oh, come on, Coach. Do you have no compassion for this boy? He was grateful to you. Men cry, especially young men, especially at that level. I got to give our phone number.
Let me tell you something.
I got to give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686. Coach Vernon Dozier, he's the head varsity football coach at Belmar Academy. They had their sports banquet Saturday night, and one of the kids was crying because he was grateful that the coach had helped him during the football year.
Let me tell you something, Phil.
Yeah.
And I want you to listen to this real good. Last November, we had a very crucial game come up against Lake Santa Margarita. I remember that morning, I found a very quiet spot in the coach's office, and I prayed, and I asked God to please assist us in victory that night. And I cried. Tears that I had cried since I was a child.
And was this a championship game?
No, this was a very important league game. But it was also important to me on a personal level.
What was that?
Mr. Henry, I'm going to tell you that up to a point, because there's a reason. My wife is a wonderful woman who has been with me through my coaching career. And she knew that I was very tense for this football game. So she told me that if we won the game, she would allow me to do something sexually with her that she had never let me do. And I'll tell you what, I skipped out of there that morning. I was looking forward to the day.
So you wept asking God for a victory in this football game. You cried, and that's what that boy...
Now, hold on, let me finish the story. Because I wept asking God for a victory, and you think he came through? I cried, and I begged God for a victory in that game. And the other team ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. And that was the beginning of a 33-0 football game that I endured like you would endure particularly acidic bowel movements. I had to endure that.
You asked God for victory. You asked God for victory. Why? Because your wife was going to do something sexual with you? Is that what you're saying?
You want to laugh? You can laugh. You want to listen? You can listen. You ask me why that boy ruined my night. He's bawling like he plays with dolls for a living. Look what crying got me. I cried to God for victory, and we got blown out 33-0. And I realized what a waste of time and what a disgrace crying was. And I swore to myself I would never cry again. And so now, what do you think happens? This kid gets up there and bawls because I stood as his dad. And then after the banquet, he comes up, throws his arms around me, thanks me. He's still crying.
He was obviously very appreciative, and I'm shocked that you would not recognize.
I recognize how appreciative it is, Phil. You don't understand what I'm saying. I don't like the kid crying. It's football. You don't cry.
Well, I think he was appreciative.
I'm looking at my wife bending over, picking up her purse, and I realize I am never, ever going to be there. I am never going to be there. And why do you think that is? Because I wept asking God.
Can I ask you a question, Coach? Are you blaming God for all of this? Are you saying that God, because he didn't get a victory, you guys were playing Lake Santa Margarita, is it God's fault?
I don't know what God has in store for me, Phil. None of us do. But I'm not going to sit there and blubber like I play with dolls just to have God knee me in the groin. That's exactly what he did to me. I cried. I asked for victory. And he reared back with that big kingly knee of his and just jammed it right up there.
Maybe God didn't want you and your wife having sex in whatever way it was.
Obviously. Obviously, he didn't want me to have my wife in that area. And I wept.
So now nobody cries.
Now I don't want anyone crying. And I do not want any member of my football team to cry. Now, I appreciate that Danny was thankful. But when you cry as a football player, you look like you play with dolls. When you stand up there and you don't have your pads on, you don't have your helmet on, and you're just up there in front of a banquet thanking people, and you start going and crying and all of that, mister, whew, you might as well just punch me in the stomach. And on top of that, we missed Gangs in New York, 10:30 showing, because he wants to blubber and drag it out.
All right, Coach, hold the line, will you?
Yeah, okay.
1-800-449-8686. Coach Vernon Dozier. He is the coach of Belmar Academy. He is a varsity football coach. Saturday night they had their banquet, and one of the kids got up and started crying, thanking the coach. And according to Coach, you don't cry when you're a football player. And you don't cry when you're asking God for victory. He asked God for a victory in a particular football game because his wife promised him some kind of exotic sex. And they got blown out 33-0. Do football players cry? And certainly isn't a young teenage football player, isn't he allowed to? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All the things I've done, though.
What is your background, Coach? We're talking to Coach Vernon Dozier, and we're going to get onto our phone calls. He's talking to us about the sports banquet Belmar Academy had Saturday night for their football players, their outgoing seniors. One of the kids cried when talking about Coach Dozier. You helped this boy during the year. You stood in as his father. You were a big influence on him, and you're getting upset with him for crying.
You know, you continue to harp on that, Phil. And
because you continue to harp on it.
I'm saying that football and crying don't go together. That's why it's a superior sport. That's why football is superior to any sport. I've seen ball players cry like they play with dolls. I've seen hockey players cry me a river. I've seen basketball players blubbering and crying like somebody's grandmother. Football players are not respected if they cry. That's the only point I was trying to make to Danny. I love Danny. I think he's going to be a great football player. I think he's going to be a tremendous person. But you have to understand that his crying slowed the night down so much that we missed the 10:30 show in a Gangs in New York. And on top of that, I told the kids about my experience, that my wife wanted to relax me before the Santa Margarita game. She promised me a certain sex act, which I will not describe.
I appreciate that. Please don't.
All right. I got on my knees, and I don't think I've ever prayed harder. I don't ask God for a lot. I ask God for just, you know, please help me get through the day. But this day, I ask for a specific thing. Will you help me win this football game? Man, I could see it, you know. I mean, I was pulling out a jar, unscrewing the top.
Yeah.
And they run the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. Isn't that God just pulling it out and doing it all over me? I think it is.
You know, you got some pretty wacky ideas about God. 1-800 for...
Oh, well, excuse me. I didn't know I was talking to the Pope.
No, you know, man, I talked to a lot of sensible people about God and religion and what God means, and I don't get you. Rick, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yeah, hi, Phil. Been listening to you for a while.
Thank you.
Man, okay, first of all, this guy says football players. There's no crying in football. This ain't a league of their own, man. You ain't Tom Hanks. would we all agree that Michael Strahan, Lawrence Taylor, Joe Green, Emmitt Smith are all real football players? I think I remember seeing them cry like babies when they won the Super Bowl.
I don't know. Joe Green never balled. Joe Green never cried. Joe Green never cried, sir.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he did not.
Check your footage, NFL films, and check your footage, Mr. Grazer.
My name is Dozier. I'm talking about a kid getting up and blubbering about how I stood in as his dad. And blubbering so long that a movie I was looking forward to seeing.
You said crying is not a part of football. How many football players are buckling their butts off when they win the Super Bowl?
All right, let me ask you. I don't see that many. I see a lot of guys smiling. I see a lot of guys running around and cheering.
I see a lot of crying.
The only football player that ever cried are men who may be homosexuals. I don't know, because there's no way of quantifying how many there are in the National Football League.
Wait a second. Joe Green, Michael Strahan, all these guys are homosexuals.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, they're crying, so you're calling them homosexual, right? If they're a man and they cry, they must be homosexual.
Well, sir,
this is the point that you're putting
I never saw Joe Namath cry. He had his finger pointed in the air going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I never seen, who's that other guy? Emmitt Smith. What's his name? Emmitt Smith. He never cried.
Oh, really?
Huh?
Oh, really? What shows are you watching? What Super Bowl have you been watching?
I've never seen Emmitt Smith ball at all.
Listen, okay, you better check your footage. I tell you what, in fact, Steve Sable from NFL Films will be more than happy to send you some footage, I'm sure, if he could get past the ridiculousness and the absurdity of you actually being hired as a coach.
Wait a second. Hired as a coach?
Beautiful compassion for a kid.
I'm 126 and 40 over the last...
Means zip.
And up, huh? And this
Means
guy,
zip, dude.
This guy, Steve Sable. Yeah, why don't you call him up and say, can I have footage of every football player crying? He'd have you locked up in a nut house. He'd put you in a soft room.
Exactly, dude. They're crying all the time. That's right. What happens when you win. That's
now,
what
the
happens
other question
when you
is,
put in a hell of an effort
all right.
You succeed.
And let me ask you this.
I'm sorry you begged God because you weren't a good enough coach to get the job done on your own.
I begged
Asking
God for a
God
little.
To help you win a game. Is wrong in the first place.
Oh, I see. So football players never point to the sky after they get a touchdown. Ah, got you there. Got you there.
You're bugging
yeah.
God to help you win a game. What, you're not getting
you.
Up on your own?
Oh, the players don't do that too? Sir, I'm a football coach.
I'm sure the players do win
the
game.
Every single football game, before the ball game, we have the chaplain come in and say a prayer. They do it on every college campus, every high school campus, and every football, professional football locker room. I don't know what sports you play, but you better get a new broom.
With your sexual satisfaction, dude, you need to be seen by somebody somewhere because you need some serious help.
My wife said to relax me that she'd give it up for me a certain way, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Okay, what's wrong with that?
How does that tie into the kid crying?
Because I bawled when I was crying to God, and he dumped all over me 33-6. I was 28
so
points away from taking the lid off that.
The football game because you didn't know what plays to call. It's God's fault.
He said ain't he supposed to help?
Well, what do you mean help? I mean, you had a big game. You got blown out. You were shut out in a big game. And do you believe in God?
Yes, of course I do.
Well, then nothing is clear to me that he told you to go take your sex act and your football team and jam it.
Very much.
I think you guys are jealous. Look, I played college football. Did either one of you guys? No. I played in Canada, professional football. Either one of you guys? No. So I know how it feels when you blubber to God, and so what? My old lady was going to give me a little. To what? Am I supposed to suffer for that? No. Now he turns around, pees all over me with a 33-0 shutout.
Will you stop it with that? Rick, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Anthony. Anthony, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say to the coach, first of all, your wife probably prayed harder that you lost the game, because with an idiot like you, I would have prayed, because I wouldn't have gave you nothing. And second of all...
Oh, you think that's funny? See, you think it's funny. All right? You're humiliating me even more than that kid that balled.
No, you humiliating yourself. And I think wherever you coach at, they need to fire you for being an idiot.
An idiot?
I've seen a lot of idiots, and you're one of the biggest ones. No, you might be moving over to the asshole category. But let me tell you this.
Sir, I'm 128 and 40.
Yeah, well, that's all right. But let me tell you this. I think that guy was being gracious. He was showing how much gratitude that
yes.
he had for you standing in to be his father.
I know
and
that.
For you to berate him put him down like that because he cried. Let me tell you something, too. Real men do cry.
Oh, really? Where?
Yeah. Yeah,
look,
they
pal,
cry.
I'm not talking around the roller rink where you hang
Let me
out.
Tell you another thing. For you to sit up there and call all the football players that do cry homosexuals, then I'm debating your sexuality.
Good point. Good point, Anthony.
Good point, Anthony.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I'm done
right?
because you
okay,
know
no,
what?
No, I'm
it's just
tell you
like
something.
Talking to a drunk person. You never get anywhere.
Oh, I see. So you don't want to have a dialogue. You just want to give
well,
a speech.
Well, I'll have a dialogue.
Out.
Go right. ahead. Shoot
here's
the best shot.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I respect that boy. I like
no,
that
you
dude.
Don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't respect
but
that
I,
boy.
When
to get
cried.
On a national radio station and say those kind of things about
what did I
that
say?
He made you lose. You couldn't
no.
watch the games in
no.
New York at 10:30. There's
no.
another showing the next day. Oh, better yet, wait till the video comes out on DVD. You can rewind
oh,
and watch it many times as you
want. You know
want.
It's not as good as seeing it on the big screen.
Well, no, wait a minute. Anthony's got a point. You're blaming this kid for missing the 10:30 showing of Gangs of New York because he cried.
I love Danny. And I think he's going to make a great football player. I'm just saying, he blubbered like he plays with dolls. That kept us from seeing the movie. What? You got a problem
you
with that?
You keep saying that, but
yeah.
You're making yourself sound more and more stupid as you keep saying that.
What's stupid about it?
That because he's crying, that means he plays with dolls?
Well, sure. I mean,
and
like,
then for you to ask God to help you win a football game so you could get some from your wife? You know, what kind of sex did you want to do with her that she didn't want to do it?
Oh, you go ahead and laugh, Mr. Henry, but I'm going to give you guys a hint. It's called...
That's
Dirty,
okay.
It's called Dirty Pete's Lake.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, okay,
anyway,
that's enough
Anthony,
of that. Yeah,
thank
I see
you
why
very
your
much.
Wife was praying
yeah.
real hard.
You no kidding.
I'll get both of you guys.
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I performed the voice of Vernon, and then I did my voice, and the people that called were real people. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. And, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com, and you should go there and get a backstage pass. And if you'd like a copy of our Best of CD, which goes to benefit my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, you should call 877-616-7445, the Best of the Phil Henry Show 1992 CD. And I can only thank you. I don't know what else I can do but thank you for the tremendous month of December we had. Close to 100 G's you guys helped us raise for my friend's place. Just out of sight. And we haven't done any personal appearances in like a year and a half for that CD. I got to get out. I got to get up off my lazy can. I got to get out and do something with my life besides sitting up in that office in a smoke-filled room with Newcastle brown ale bottles laying around playing Madden 2003. Now, Maxim magazine this month has got kind of an interesting... I always like these who would have done the movie if the other guy didn't thing, and Maxim's got this a list of actors who would have had this part. Now, how do they know this? It says here, it's a game. Match these thespians with the mega hit roles they came this close to playing. I wonder if they were offered the part and turned it down, or if they auditioned for the part and were considered for it and were turned down themselves. I don't know. But let's start with a film that we all love, The Terminator. The very first film, Terminator. We all know the T-800 Terminator robot was played to great effect and with, legendary, aplomb, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Guess who almost played it? Guess who they considered for it? Guess who was considering himself for it? Guess who came this close to playing the Terminator robot in the first one? O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson. I don't know what to say about that. Probably the less said, the better. So we'll move on to the next one. In the movie The Godfather, who else but Al Pacino? Am I right? Who else but Al Pacino? Great actor, one of the all-time greatest of actors. Al Pacino played Michael Corleone, who is the young son who returns from the war, only to take over his father's family in La Cosa Nostra. Michael Corleone was played by Al Pacino, but guess who was up for that part and almost got it?
Now, I'm wondering if he would have been any good. As I say his name, you tell me. Burt Reynolds. Now, Burt Reynolds was in one of the all-time great films, Deliverance. So when he wanted to really go to work, he could do it. He was great in Boogie Nights. I mean, the guy can act. But as Michael Corleone, as an Italian? He's gator bait. All right, now. Jack Travern in Speed was played by Keanu Reeves. I think Keanu Reeves was terrific in that movie. That was great. And, of course, we remember him as the cop in Speed who, you know, neutralizes the great Dennis Hopper, who's the bad guy. Guess who was up for the part? You ready? Stephen Baldwin. Now, somebody was watching, I think it was a Saturday Night Live. I didn't see it. I think my kids mentioned that there was a very funny joke in Saturday Night Live where they said something to a character to this effect. You're about as irritating as the Baldwin brothers. And, oh, God, that is so right. Because they are. They need to split up. They need to split up and change all of their last names to something else. The only guy that gets to keep it is Alec Baldwin. He gets to keep it. And Stephen Baldwin should just be Stephen Schmeven. And who's the other? William Baldwin ought to be William Tell. And who's another one? Billy Baldwin ought to be Billy Barty. And then who's the other? Alec Baldwin. Alec should just change his name to Alec Guinness. There. Nobody knows who the hell they are. And they're all off doing something else, and nobody relates them in their minds, because the minute you think of Billy Baldwin and Stephen Baldwin at all. Anyway, he was almost Jack Travern in Speed. I don't know. I like Keanu Reeves in that. Moving on to that, the next movie is Agent J in Men in Black was played by Will Smith. Terrific flick with Tommy Lee Jones. Guess who was up for the part as Agent J in Men in Black? Well, you would think they were going to cast a black guy. So you think this is some kind of affirmative action casting? No, they originally cast Chris O'Donnell. They originally were thinking about Chris O'Donnell, who played Robin in Batman and Robin, and he played in Son of a Woman. You know, good actor. I think they put Will Smith in there is because they had one black face and one white face, so it looked cool for the camera. I don't know why they put him in there. They put him in there because he's funny. He's funnier than hell. All right, next movie, Clarice Starling in Silence of the Lambs, of course, was played by Jodie Foster. She won an Academy Award for her performance in Silence of the Lambs, one of the all-time great movies. Guess who the original, or one of the people considered, was before Jodie Foster? Michelle Pfeiffer. Now, I think that that wouldn't have been bad. Not bad. Michelle Pfeiffer, she would have been cool, probably played a little older than they wanted, you think? Maybe they're supposed to be right out of the academy, a little too old for that thing. Then we move on to Natalie in Charlie's Angels was played by Cameron Diaz. Originally, they were thinking about Mila Jovovich, but nowhere near as funny as Cameron Diaz. And that ass-shaking scene, you know, we will always remember Cameron popping out of bed and wiggling her ass as you, her boyfriend, just laid there going, yeah, that's great. I guess that's what I was supposed to think, right? Then finally, Han Solo in Star Wars, Harrison Ford. Guess who was originally considered for that? You got it, O.J. Simpson. Now, moving along, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. The original guy considered was Christopher Walken. That would have been a really interesting choice. That would have been a dark and moody and creepy choice, wouldn't it? Why didn't you do that, Lucas? Why didn't you just take us down the dark way? Send us to the dark way. All right, now we move on to Ben-Hur. Now, who, you know, a lot of you younger people don't know Ben-Hur, but it won 12 Academy Awards in 1959. Charlton Heston played Prince Ben-Hur. Charlton Heston will forever be tied in the mind to Ben-Hur. Guess who they originally considered? O.J. Simpson. Anyway, forget it. Huh? Hey, I'm making it up. What do you mean, who? Oh, hell, I missed one. You remember Chris in Platoon, played by Charlie Sheen? The young Charlie Sheen in the movie Platoon. Did you ever see Platoon? He plays a young Marine Corps recruit learning the ropes from two different sergeants, one played by Willem Dafoe and the other played by Tom Berenger. Well, he played very well, but guess who they originally were considering as the young recruit? Ludicrous. No, O.J. Simpson. No, Kyle MacLachlan. Who's a great actor. And no, this is really the last one. And guess in the movie Born on the 4th of July, playing Ron Kovic. Ron Kovic was a great and very, very articulate Vietnam veteran who came home to America and enlightened many people to the horrors of the Vietnam War. Ron Kovic was played to great effect, to Academy Award effect, if I'm not mistaken, by Tom Cruise. It was originally offered to O.J. Simpson. And they said, he's white, you dumbass. And Stone went, well, what's that got to do with, what are you bugging me, man? You're bugging me. Get out of here. No, Mr. Stone, Ron Kovic was white. Get out of here. I'm the artist. So he wanted to cast Tex Cobb, and they just didn't go for it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Now, in Silence of the Lambs, seriously, I'm going to do this one more. In Silence of the Lambs, we know the brilliance of Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. The first guy they cast was O.J. Simpson. And why is that funny? Just try that, folks, at home. Just use O.J. Simpson as the punchline to everything. That's no wife. That's not my wife. That's O.J. Simpson. Just use it as the punchline to, you know. And then I told the genie I wanted O.J. Simpson, and that's what I got. Right? In the movie Dirty Harry, we all know Clint Eastwood as the great, but they originally offered a huge contract to O.J. Simpson to play that. Okay, anyway, that's played out. Now, other movie things, and I like this information. Sort of. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it, but it says that the horse's head in The Godfather, that was a real horse's head. This is according to Maxim. Now, if they used a real horse's head, they had to have killed a horse. Am I right or wrong? Or did they have to put one down for... in any event, when that guy pulls that sheet back, that's the real head of a horse. In that movie. But if the guy knew there was going to be a horse's head there, what difference does it make? They were using a fake head until that scene. Now, this is really weird, and you have to have seen the movie Casablanca. Does anybody know this movie, Casablanca? Well, at the very end of the movie, Humphrey Bogart is saying goodbye to Ingrid Bergman. And all of those lines about the problems of two people don't amount to a hill of beans in a world like this. And it's very romantic, and the movie is coming to an end. She is going off, and he's going off. The classic Bogart film Casablanca had such a shoestring budget that they couldn't even use a real airplane during the famous ending. So they're standing there on the tarmac of the runway. That's not a real plane. That's a cardboard cutout placed in the background, and so it would look like it was far away. The flight crew were midgets. Giving the illusion of a full-size plane. Now today, with all of the computer-generated, you know, images that we have, this poor struggling guy, I don't know, what do you want me to do? Put a midget there. What do you want? I got to get this movie done. Can you imagine a guy? What are we going to do? What? I can't get an airplane. I got to get this thing under budget. Well, you know. All right, look, Eddie, give me a cardboard cutout and hire some midgets in United Airlines uniforms. Get them over there from the Wizard of Oz set. I don't care how you do it, but do it now. Because now a guy says, well, you know, let's go over to CGI, boom, 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 get those guys down, get Lucas to work. Okay, he hadn't done anything interesting in a long time. Get those Industrial Light and Magic clowns, and we'll make an airplane flying through the sky or whatever. But they didn't have it back then. So they had to have the guy, well, where am I going to get a cardboard cutout? Have that kid, just cut one out, I don't know. Trace one in a magazine, cut it out, paint it, stick it back there, get a midget in a suit. Wild. One of the most disturbing homages ever, according to Maxim, is the Star Wars epilogue. In the first movie, The galactic heroes receive medals at the very end of the movie for blowing up the Death Star, as you recall. The scene, however, is a shot-for-shot recreation of another award sequence that appeared in another movie. So what they did is they took the exact choreography of another awards scene from another movie and set their award scene to that exact choreography and almost that exact set. And do you know what the name of that film was? The movie was called A Triumph of the Will, a documentary about Nazi Germany. Okay. Yeah. Triumph of the Will was a documentary about Nazi Germany, and Lucas, because he's lazy as hell, said, I don't know, make it from that Nazi flick. Well, haven't you got Jewish friends? What are you going to bug me with that now? Spielberg's not going to like, I don't give a crap, don't tell him. He didn't know anything before 1960 anyway. So just go ahead and do it. All right, boom. Now, a very distinct screen, I don't know this one. Ah, forget it. The rest of it's crap. But it's interesting movie crud. Have you seen, Janice went and saw The Hours, and what the hell did we see? Oh, I told you, we saw About Schmidt. Great movie, nobody's going to see it. I think it made $6 million. I don't know what it's supposed to make, but you got to go see this movie because Jack Nicholson is at his best ever. His best ever. Now, it's a story. There's not going to be a lot of exploding cars. There won't be anybody flying through an air conditioning duct and their face just shredded by a screen at the other end. There won't be, like my kids saw in, I think it was Resident Evil, the guy getting, messed up by some laser beam. My kids are like, oh, you guys see Resident Evil, it's the bomb. Well, what happens? Some dude, this laser beam turns into a mesh and just cuts the guy into, bite-sized morsels. There won't be any of that. It's just a really great film about a guy going to his daughter's wedding and the things that happen. But I tell you, he's never been better in any movie that I've ever seen. Now, I'm talking about an actor who really means only a certain thing to a certain generation. He was, to my generation, what James Dean was to another generation. And I don't know what today's movie-going generation would call the rebel figure on screen. Do you know? Is there anybody that we could possibly come up with? They're all freaking rebels now. I mean, but Nicholson was one of the first leading men to cry on screen. And he was one of the first leading men to actually to die. And Brendan Fraser comes to mind when I think of revolutionary. Or Matthew Perry. Just a guy that we follow, that the new generation follows with religious fervor. A guy who represents every rebellious instinct. A man who represents that sort of... O.J. Simpson comes to mind. In fact, O.J. Simpson is fantastic because he really did kill somebody. Jesus, I'd put that guy in any movie. I think Jack Nicholson's such a freaking rebel, or James Dean. O.J. Simpson actually greased somebody. So he's at the top of our list the next time we need that rebel. You got to go see this About Schmidt. It's really great. Seriously, wonderful, wonderful movie. And, the best acting Nicholson's ever done. You deserve the award, Jack. God bless you. You only got 900 more of them. So whatever the hell, just for what it's worth. Because I've been wanting to see Gangs of New York and something a little cut-em-up violent. And my wife, she's not going to have any of it. She wants to drag me off to see Adaption, The Hours. Let's go down there to the little tiny theater at the end of the street. We got one of those Lemleys at the end of our street. Oh, God. Every time, Bowling for Columbine, I do want to see. Although Michael, did you hear what he did? He was in London. Michael Moore, he said if there had been black people on the planes at 9/11, those guys wouldn't have crashed them into the World Trade Center because black folks kick ass and all the white people on the plane were scared. Oh, nice going, man. I mean, just when everybody's on your side with that Bowling for Columbine, what is that comment? What, were you stuck for something to say? What are you doing live on stage anyway, you fat slob? Go make a movie. You're not a stand-up comic. You can't think on your feet. What are you, Bill Maher? Next thing you know, you're going to be saying something like, hey, they got a lot of guts flying them planes into that building. We're lobbing missiles 1,200 miles away. Oops, excuse me. Just make a movie. They got this guy standing on stage like he's doing shtick. He's a movie maker, you dumb freaking limeys. Good for you, man. All right, well, Moore, you're going to have to come back and dig yourself out from underneath that one. Yeah, you're right. All the whiteys were scared, even the ones that took that plane down, Flight 93. What, are you stupid or something, fatso? Good thing you made a good movie. Or from what I hear, it's a good movie. Anyway, I'll have to go decide for myself. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.